This is Dr. Sydney Miller in studio with me, Dr. Nmini Da Silva. She is a clinical psychologist and expert in a number of areas of adult and teen emotional problems. And she's talking to us this evening about the panic attacks, and she's going to describe them to us right now. Also, we're going to learn a little bit about panic attacks versus panic disorder versus avoidance that comes because of panic attacks. All kinds of complications arise, but we won't leave it there. As we go through the hour with Dr. Da Silva, we're also going to learn about the treatments, the various treatments, and in fact, quite effective treatments out there. So even as you sort of get panicky hearing about panic, you should know that there are wonderful treatments out there for us. And again, your calls are more than welcome. 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800 for your calls. 514-800 for your text. So, Nmini, maybe we can start with just a general description. What are we talking about when we talk about a panic attack? I called it extreme fear, but of course that's not the clinical description or explanation. What does it look like?
So for the very first time, it's really what it feels like is this abrupt, out of nowhere, intense fear and intense physical discomfort that reaches a peak really fast, within minutes. And then you will have these multiple physical and emotional signs and symptoms that you'll be experiencing. And then after a certain period of time, again, some minutes, it'll fade away. However, you're left with this really bad experience, memory, and then you might start to have fear that you might have it again. So the first time you ever have it, that's your panic attack. When you start having it more than once and keeps coming back, and often under similar circumstances, then you start to talk about a recurrent panic attack. And then when it starts generalizing to similar kinds of places, then we can start talking about panic disorder.
Okay. So panic attack, I could have one and never experience it again?
You could. It's extremely rare that you would have just one and it would never happen again. But sometimes you can have multiple factors that can happen in your life that can lead you to have a panic attack, even though maybe later in your life you'll never be exposed to those same situations in your life and you might be able to deal with them fine.
Okay. Now, could you describe again in more detail the symptoms themselves?
Okay. So we have a lot of symptoms. Physically, those are like the most, let's say, poignant and most people can identify with. So we've got the heart skipping or racing. We've got people feeling like they're sweating or having chills. You may experience your hands trembling or shaking and feel short of breath. Or you might be having difficulty breathing. Some people experience even pain or tightness in the chest. That's really scary. And other people might feel sort of like nausea or an upset stomach, that kind of sensation in their stomach. For others, it's more around their heads. They feel dizzy or lightheaded or not quite on balance. For others, it's more like numbing and tingling in their extremities. And the last one is sometimes feeling like you're so out of it that you're kind of like things are unreal. So those can be the physical sides of things. Emotionally, you're experiencing all of this physically and you're trying to make sense of it. It's really scary. You get anxious, you get frightened, you get apprehensive, you feel tense, you're on edge. Those are things that you can experience.
Right. And I think that's also a very good point, which is that it is a very frightening thing because you get all these physical symptoms, mm-hmm. these physical sensations. Mm-hmm. You don't know what they are. You don't know. It seems as if they're coming from nowhere, though they're not really. We'll get into that a little later. And people develop a real fear of the fear.
Well, yes, because initially, without an explanation for it, people usually attribute it to some kind of physical disorder, some kind of physical problem. And the number one cause, they think, is I'm having a heart attack,
right.
Something like that.
Right. In fact, they say that a huge percentage, maybe up to 90% of people going to an emergency room thinking they're having a heart attack are actually having a panic attack.
That's correct. And the first thing that's done is usually they get checked out exactly for their heart function and cardiovascular function. And once it's ruled out that everything's fine, that's when they get the diagnosis, okay, you've just had a panic attack. And for the person experiencing it, it feels like really their heart is pounding out of their chest. They're feeling extremely weak and dizzy, all of the things that one would associate with, let's say, chest pain and a heart attack.
Right. And so that's one of them. Other people feel like they're going to faint.
Mm-hmm.
Though, in fact, people don't really faint from panic attacks, do they?
No, they never do, really. I've never heard a case of that in my years of practice.
No, in fact, that's, I think, one of the most common fears for the panic attack is that you will faint. And so, folks, if you have that feeling, you're driving your car, and, oh, my God, what if I faint and I crash the car? Or I'm in the mall, and what if I faint and there's nobody to help me? You should know people don't faint from panic attacks.
No, not really.
Another one that's very common is the fear of going crazy,
indeed,
so to speak.
Indeed. And people are very afraid of that. They think, if this keeps happening, I don't know how long I can handle it before I end up in an institution. And honestly, you don't go crazy from having panic attacks.
Right. So, in fact, panic attacks are these intense physical sensations that feel as if, though not really, if you ever really had a heart attack, you'd realize it's a very different thing than what you experienced during your panic. Mm-hmm. And I've actually even had a patient tell me that, who for years had thought he was having a heart attack, and then we successfully treated him for his anxiety, and then many years later actually had a heart attack, and he came back to visit me for the sole purpose, I think, of telling me that, you know what, doc, you should share this with your other patients in the future. All those years I thought I was having a heart attack, when I actually had one, it was nothing like anything I'd ever imagined. There was no question my body was telling me that something was wrong, as opposed to my anxiety, quote-unquote, heart attacks. It's not at all the same.
Well, that's extremely good to hear, I think, for the audience and the listeners, because everyone seems to make that mistake and confuse the two. But when you're having an actual heart attack, it feels very different.
Right. And so panic attacks, therefore, are these physiological intense reactions, mm-hmm, that feel as if something was horribly wrong physically.
Yeah.
Of course, therefore, we run to the hospital,
exactly,
and they tell us no.
No, exactly. And the thing is, because when you have a panic attack, your whole sympathetic nervous system gets engaged. So you have the cortisol, stress hormones going up, you've got your adrenaline pumping, you've got your breathing increase, leading sometimes to hyperventilation, you've got your heart going a mile a minute, or what feels like it. And you have more tension in your muscles. So it's really your fight or flight response system getting engaged, because you're perceiving a threat somewhere that you may be consciously or unconsciously attending to. So when you engage in that without a real identifiable cause, you tend to attribute it to something physical.
So that actually brings a good point, is where do these come from then? I mean, they feel like they're coming from nowhere, but in fact, they don't come from nowhere, do they?
Well, people feel like they come from nowhere because they can't really ascribe it to something. But when you do treat it in psychotherapy, you do tend to find that, in fact, there were some triggers earlier in the day, perhaps a state of mind the person was in that particular day or that week. There might have been things that were happening in their lives that were creating quite an amount of stress on them that they were perhaps not aware of. And what happens is all of these other factors that were going on in their life just sort of stacked up one on top of the other and took them from their normal baseline functioning anxiety or stress levels, which we all have every day, and bumped them all the way up to their baseline or threshold, sorry, for a panic attack, which we all have. We all have this internal sort of level of stress that we can take before we have a panic attack, and that's variable. Everyone's is different. But if we stack enough stressors in a given week or day or month, we can push someone there, and they may not be aware of it until they get their panic attack.
Okay, so it's a buildup of stresses, is what you're suggesting. It's a buildup of stresses throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. The day, the week, the month, so the person can be run down. So that's psychologically. But we also have to add a physical component.
Okay.
Fatigue, not having slept, not having had good nutrition for some time. All of these weaken the body. So the body does not feel like it's able to cope. So it feels like there's an ongoing underlying threat that we are not really consciously that aware of ourselves.
Could you repeat that? I'm not sure I understand.
So let's say we haven't slept well for the last few days, and we have been eating poorly. So our, you know, wellness, our immune system's not exactly, you know, it's fighting off all kinds of, you know, germs and flus and all of that. So we're kind of a little bit already kind of running, fighting off some kind of threat, maybe a biological threat, these kinds of things. So we're kind of running on empty. The way that we sometimes do by For students, it's the end of semesters, right before exam periods. For professionals, it could be right before that promotion when you've been like running on all your gears and trying to just, you know, prove to the superiors that you could, you know, get that position. Sometimes for families, it's right before Christmas when they're planning to have all kinds of family over and, you know, prepare for the holidays and all of that. So different things can cause a certain amount of unknown stress on the body, on the physical system. And then on top of that, we add a few other things like stimulants. That could be your coffees, that could be your Red Bulls, that could be perhaps some recreational drugs that you take. And we often have, I mean, I've had clients who've come in because they've had recreational drug use, which typically didn't affect them. And then suddenly one day, when they're going through a lot in their life, it does, they react very badly. And then they interpret that as panic when it's really stimulants without enough way of it, let's say, escaping the body.
Right. And then they get frightened of the physical sensation they're having. Yes. And that's the beginning, I guess,
of panic disorder.
Panic disorder. So if we understand this, then I could get a panic attack, a one-time extreme physical reaction as a combination of a variety of things, stress, lack of sleep, stimulants, whatever.
Conflict in relationships, et cetera.
Yeah. Anything, even conflict in relationships.
Absolutely.
Anything. And then once I have that, if that frightens me to such a degree, that event, I now may start becoming very concerned about having another one of these.
Exactly. And at the beginning, you'll probably create some associations. You'll associate that panic attack with that location or that person or that kind of situation. Let's say it happens right before you have to make a presentation or right before you have to meet someone, that a family member that you just haven't been getting along with, or on the bus, or, you know, something like that. You start making those associations that I cannot take the bus, or I cannot speak to that person, or I can't make oral presentations.
So it would be fair to say that in most cases of panic attack, that they eventually lead to some avoidances of situations?
They absolutely do.
So it'd be rare that one would have I guess one could have a one-time panic attack and have it turn out to be nothing, right?
It's possible, because let's say you could have a panic attack theoretically, not be exposed to that kind of a situation. Like, let's say you only saw that person, that family member, that time, and you never see them again for another 5 or 10 years because they're out of the country. The panic may never come back again because the stimulus that you associate with it is not there.
Got it.